Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers, and hi, Susie. What's up this week?
Well, hello, Barbara, and welcome to episode 109 of the Groom Pod, recorded on February 5th, 2017, in Snohomish, Washington, and Tucson, Arizona. This week on the Groom Pod, we are going to chat about HV drying, that's high velocity drying. We're going to learn about surfactant harshness and talk a little bit about the video of Crazy Charlie. You can see that video on our Facebook group at www.facebook.com/group/thegroompod. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, and on Google Play or anywhere else. You can find all things Groom Pod related at www.thegroompod.com, including our massive library of archives, the donation button, and the Amazon banner. Remember to share us with all your grooming pals and support our sponsors. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.bieber.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. Well, Barbara, how was your week?
Well, I had a good week. I had a really interesting day yesterday, Susie, because my very excellent physical therapist made a site visit to my shop and interacted with me about what I was doing with my back and stuff while I was grooming.
And I bet that was fascinating.
It's really good. So Diana and I are going to kind of collaborate on an article. I'm going to make this result in an article and share some of her tips, because I was amazed to learn that sitting down in itself isn't enough to support my back. You know, I'm just having this real problem with my back getting muscle spasms. So I was amazed to learn that it's not just sitting down that would help your back. It's how you sit.
See, that's why I wondered about that with our discussion of sitting down, because of the stool and my inability to put my knees underneath the table.
Right. Yeah, I think you've got a good point, because the first thing that she did was have me move closer into the table, and then she had me put one foot up on the table frame. It's a Z frame under there, and that made all the difference in the world, because I was sitting, she had me sit back more into the seat and not arch my back. What she did approve of was that I brace myself on the table. I put my hand on the table and I lean in to do certain things. And I do that on the stand-up table and the sit-down table. And she said that kind of bracing is really good to do. So that was cool. I thought she was going to bust me for that. and I made a whole true confession. Here's how I groom, and I'm leaning into it. She said, good, that's supporting your back. That's a good thing to do. It was very interesting. And for my standing up, she had me make a little step. So I actually found an old plastic case that came with a clipper, and that was perfect on the floor because I can move it around real easy with my foot, and I can still be mobile. But I can keep one foot slightly raised.
So, which foot? The foot on the side that hurts, or the other one?
Alternate.
Okay, so I gotta pick my foot up.
Yeah, I'm gonna take pictures of that, and it'll all be in an article that will come out, not immediate, for everybody. There is an article by moi in the current e-groomer journal on petgroomer.com. So, and it's a fascinating article. It's the State of the Industry article that he does every first of every year. So it's got all these statistics about pricing, average prices in different parts of the country for different breeds, and, you know, all of that, how much groomers are getting paid and all that kind of stuff. So it's a real fascinating issue. There's an excellent article by Debbie Hilly on dryer seizure, and my article on the kind of the status of ingredient list 2017. So
I downloaded it last night. I haven't delved in there very far yet, but I'm ready. I've got it on my tablet.
Yeah, it's a really good issue. It's not my greatest article, but I'm in there.
Well, that's good you got it done.
I kind of got back in the game, that because I haven't written for him for a long time, and I got back in the game, and I'm going to, for the next issue, I'm going to write up my material on aerosols.
And speaking of, that guy, I can't remember his name, but I know he's in the Eastern Washington somewhere. He's a very nice man because he has left our banner up under the advertising, even though I didn't buy another year.
Oh, what a guy. That's yeah. Steven. I think he's one of the unsung heroes of our industry because he has been devoted to that petgroomer.com and in for years. And he's just devoted to the industry. This issue that he does every year, he keeps growing. He did a survey of groomers and stress that suggested that over 60% of groomers are taking medication for stress related to their job.
Oh, that's sad. That's too bad.
It's not surprising, though, is it?
No.
Because, you know, like I would have to comp myself because I'm taking my NSAIDs for my arthritic pain. It's really directly related to my work. I mean, and I'm
right. Oh, me too. Therapy, I guess.
You know? I guess. Yeah, you know, I guess.
Yep. I was thinking more like Valium or something like in a Xanax.
Well, I'm sure that's part of it.
Yeah, no, I am. Yeah, I can see that for sure. My hands hurt. I take something.
Yeah.
And speaking of things hurting, I figured out a way to tape up my instep, and I've had a couple weeks of pain-free movement. So I'm so happy about that. Not that I'm throwing out the whole sitting down idea, but my feet are much better. Hooray for a case of athletic tape.
Yeah, hooray for that. I'm happy for you.
But I've had frustrations this week. Just mine are much happy. They're happy frustrations. They don't involve people I haven't met. I am blessed with good mobile grooming pals who have thought, you know, who run several different vehicles at one time and have lost an employee and need to farm out some of their grooming. And guess who gets to be the recipient of her already trained clients?
All right. Good deal.
The pressure is off. And there's cats involved, so I might get a few new cats. I love doing cats. They're very therapeutic for me most of the time. So now I'm feeling a lot better about this year. I mean, a lot, way more comfortable about my prospects for the next year. Thank you, Danielle.
Yeah, I'm feeling better too because I am now booking into April.
Very nice.
And it's just, you know, I just have some full days in March already. And it's just looking like things have filled up and stabilized for me. So
I love the Bulldogs. I love the Bulldogs. They are so full of personality. They're characters, both of them. Each is very different from the other. One of them is short and squatty, and the other one is a little bit taller. And I figured out the one that didn't enjoy the nail trim last week.
Right.
I did her nails with a Dremel this time. Uh-huh. She can pick up her feet just fine. She never even noticed. She just went on about her sniffing. You know, so cool. So I wrote down always Dremel.
All right.
So that was cool. But the other thing is my 30 blades. I have two 30 blades that are not at the sharpeners right now. Got a lot of stuff at the sharpeners. And both of them are hanging up, even though I've cleaned them. I'm not sure how they shifted. And of course, it's 30 blades that I use underneath my wall stainless steel combs. So with much regret, I have swapped over to the 40 blade other wall combs, the ones that slide over the 40 blade.
Right.
I have stabbed myself 100 times trying to get those freaking things on and off. They hurt. I keep poking them into my hand.
No, don't do that. Poke them into the table.
That works for going in. Coming out has been a little tougher. Getting them back off. And I tried putting oil and I tried putting silicone and neither.
What clipper do you have?
On my Andis 5-speed XL.
I haven't had that problem.
Oh, they are sticky. Well, I don't use them very much. You probably use them more.
Yeah.
See, so yours are loose. Mine are tight as can be because I'm always using the clip-on. Since I'm not using a Brevera-type clipper, I'm using an Andis. My cordless is an Andis, so I don't know. It hurts, though. I've got all these little wounds in the palm of my hands driving me crazy, and I went down and stopped by the sharpener to see if my stuff was done, and it wasn't yet. Ooh, one of our sharpeners, poor Ted, passed away in his sharpening rig.
No!
Yeah, generator carbon monoxide poisoning.
Son of a bitch.
He made his own rig. He had a generator in there. I didn't know him. He's in the South Seattle area, south of Seattle more than North Seattle.
Oh, how horrible.
I know it. Really bad. Yep. So you guys, if you were using a generator anywhere near your grooming area, please have a carbon monoxide tester. You know, one of those little alarms that you can plug in and or have a battery. Yeah. What a bummer, huh?
Damn, that's horrible.
It is. On a happier note, how about a trivia question? Now that I killed the room off.
Good job, Suze.
Nice work. Nice work.
What is it, girl? Is it a fire? Is it Barbara? It's Barbara. Is Barbara in the well? No. Oh, it's time for Tail Wagon Trivia.
So the question is, how many hairs per square inch are on the back of a cat? Little hint, the back of a cat is less dense than the belly of the cat. Not that that helps that
well,
much.
Well, that could have been a trivia question in and of itself.
I know.
I'll wait eagerly for that answer at the end of the program.
I thought you might know it since you've done so many microscopic studies of hair.
Yeah, no, I don't know that one.
Okay, well, let's hear from Best Shot. Take a break real quick, and then we'll be back with our first appointment, which is all about high velocity drying and dryers.
You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out BestShotPet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's BestShotPet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. All right, Barbara, I can't live without my high velocity or HV dryer. It's all that I have pretty much available to me in the grooming trailer. I do have a handheld dryer, but I always forget about it since it's in my drawer and I never pull it out, since my HV dryer and a clamp seems to do everything I need it to do. But I heard through the grapevine, a little bird told me, it wasn't Huckleberry, it was another bird, that someone got a new dryer this week.
Yes, I got a new dryer this week. Well, you know, my K9 2, I've had it for probably 12 years. I've changed the brushes about 3 times. And the last time that I had the brushes changed, I took it to our vacuum cleaner repair guy, and I had some troubles there at Kathy's vacuum, and they didn't wire it properly so that the one motor doesn't come on unless you have the other motor on.
Oops.
Now, that's not a big thing because you still have the option of using one motor or two, but it has overall impeded the performance of the two motors together. So I've lost force.
No, that's not good.
Now, I don't do a whole lot of big dogs, so, you know, we've been stumbling along, but you and I talked back in July at Super Zoo that I should send it to Ryan's for refurbishing, and they'll sort it out and make it. I know they've always, when they've done my clipper repair, sent me back things that are better than new.
They do a great job with those K9 2s. I've sent mine back a couple times. They've even done a motor replacement.
Now, it's just been a couple of hiccups in getting it off. One is that I didn't want to be stuck just with one little single motor 4HP dryer, because I do doodles and standard poodles and some bigger dogs. And secondly, you got to find a box that the damn thing fits in. So what I did this week, I just broke down. I said, I've just got to have a better option. And also, you know, I have a love-hate affair with the K9 2 because of the noise of the motor.
It's loud.
In my old age, I'm getting more sensitive to noise, you know. So even though I'm in another room adjacent to the drying area, it's annoying to me. I can't talk on the phone when Yvonne is using the K9 2. And so at Super Zoo in July, I bought a new stand dryer from X-Power. And I thought I would look at the X-Power canister options for an HV dryer. And their B27 looked very appealing to me. It has two motors and a variable speed switch, so you can take it all the way down. So
I'm jealous of you guys with the variable speed, because all I have is on off in the trailer. I don't have the ability to dial
and
it.
You know, the new K9 2s now have a variable speed option.
I understand that the switch to repair is $90 just for the switch. I was hearing about it just the other day. So that K9 2 might be going back to the standard switches rather than the K9 2, rather than the variable switch. But that is a rumor. You know, it doesn't hold that much water until we actually see it happen.
Well, I that would be a setback.
Yeah, it would for them.
A variable switch is really good to have. And another reason that I like a variable switch is that it doesn't draw the electricity in the same fashion all at one big swell foop like an on-off switch does. So,
or even a fell swoop. Yes. Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely. Gives you the option Sometimes I crack myself up.
I crack myself up too. Well, that's why we're together.
I know. Oh my gosh.
We not only laugh at each other, but we laugh at ourselves.
Yep.
So anyway, the one drawback, the one thing that I was a little bit afraid of with this X-Power B27 is that it's 19 amps. And my K9 2 is 17 amps, and there are times when it blows circuit. Uh-oh. So I was a little worried, but I was so excited about the possibility of getting something that was more quiet.
Yes.
At a variable speed and could work as well as my K9 2, and I could send my K9 2 away, and then we'll incorporate the new dryer, maybe instead of the little Laubach dryer that I use as a second dryer. So, and on the little Laube Magnum Force, which I sell, it's a loud little son of a bitch. I don't like it either.
Yeah, I've got a little Lang two-motor dryer. I don't know. I can't remember who bought Lang out, but somebody bought them out, the dryer department. But it's okay, but it is not, it's not as good. So I think now that you're talking about it, next time I have to have a dryer repair, that I might just buy myself a new dryer. Where did you get it?
You know what, Susie? I got it off Amazon.
No way.
I needed it right away. I figured I wasn't really going to have negotiating power to get this because I don't know this company that well. And it wasn't with any of my distributors that know me.
Right.
So I didn't have kind of negotiating power. So I was going to have to pay full price. And I just, and it was free shipping.
Yes. Right there. That paid for almost your whole year.
The company, it was $25 to ship it. You know, yep. They gave me a reduced price, but then it was $25 shipping. This was free shipping. So right there, I saved.
And today, because if they'd have two-dated, it would have been crazy expensive.
No kidding. I ordered it like Tuesday, and it came on Thursday. It was just...
So thankful for Amazon.
And not only do I love it, but Yvonne fell in love with it right away. And it's a very interesting dryer. It's very lightweight, like 14 pounds. It's ABS plastic instead of a stainless steel body. And that is, I think, part of the reason why it's more quiet. And
does it have a filter?
It's got a three-piece filter. It's got that company is very much into their filtering system.
Well, that filter makes the motor last so much longer. Right. It really, really does. Yeah. And keeping it clean is so important. It's one of the most important things about a high velocity dryer is they need to get air in to push air out. So you guys, you've got to maintain your dryer filters no matter what kind they are. So is it a replaceable filter or do you clean it?
Well, both.
Both, clean so it. You can clean it.
And then replace it when it gets too funky, when it gets old. So, and it's considerably more quiet. It's got tiny attachments. I mean, really tiny, but that, of course, increases the force of the air that comes out of the attachments.
Let's talk about attachments.
Okay.
Because there's so many different kinds, and I have two different size cone nozzles. One of them has a really tiny hole at the end and a really long cone, and that's the one that makes the worst noise and blows out the most coat and has the harshest, it feels the harshest against my hand. Mm-hmm. And then I have a smaller cone that's shorter in length and has a larger a larger opening at the end, and that one is my more commonly used of the two cone nozzles, and it's definitely quieter. But it is not as powerful at peeling out some of that undercoat as the other one. The third nozzle that I use is a rectangular nozzle.
Flat nozzles, yeah.
It's a flat nozzle. But my flat nozzle is really, really, really long. And more than once, including this week, I have looked at that nozzle and thought, should I cut the end of that thing off? Because it's like 6 inches long. What's the point of it being 6 inches long? Do you have any idea? And what would happen if I did cut it off? Would it lose its effectiveness?
How much does it cost? $12?
I don't know. I don't want to cut it off unless I have another one. Because it is my workhorse. That's the one I use.
Is that the long flat nozzle that works on the K9 too? Yeah? Yeah.
Yes.
That's what you have.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's a good nozzle.
I love it, and I love it the way it is, but I keep thinking, would it be even just a little bit stronger if I cut half of it off? I get the whole why a cone nozzle is canicular. I get that you're focusing it down, but for a square nozzle like that, or whatever flat nozzle you want to call it, it seems to me that the longer the nozzle, the weaker the stream at the end is.
I don't think it's going to make a difference.
Okay. Well, then, I'm not overly excited about cutting it. I just think about it often. And then the other thing that I do, I'd say 70% of the time I use the flat nozzle, as we're calling it. Then the other 30%, I use just the cuff. Nah, 25%. I use just the cuff. So take all of the attachments off of the end of the nozzle and just use the round opening of the hose right up against the skin. Do you ever do that?
Yeah, but what I like even better than that is the stem, the gray stem.
Is that like
a little bit smaller than the cuff itself? But the gray stem that goes with the cone nozzle?
Yes, yeah, okay, I understand. Yes, that's what I can't remove that from my canine too. It's glued in there.
Well, you're probably better off, because then you're not going to blow the cone nozzle into the dog.
Well, occasionally I blow the cone nozzle into the dog, but it doesn't come off with the gray thing. The gray thing stays on and the cone nozzle fires off.
The gray thing stays on. Oh.
Yeah, the gray thing stays on. Oh,
I don't know if it's really glued, or I bet you I could get it off.
Well, my question is, I can't use Marlene Romani's water peeler because I can't take that gray thing off. But I was afraid once I got the gray thing off that then it would shoot off all the time. So I didn't.
Have you tried greasing it up?
Yeah, I've tried greasing it up and I've kind of tried peeling it away, but I still have this fear that whatever I do will make it then not stick in there.
I don't know. I got mine out and it still sticks in there pretty good. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd like to have, I like all my options.
Do you have to have a muffler clamp on there to hold it in?
No.
Oh, okay.
Where I need a clamp is on the cone nozzle itself to keep it on the stem.
Right. And I've got that.
And what happens is that my employee, whoever it always employee yeah. du jour, wants to use just the stem and removes that, and then it comes with a nice locking Ziploc thing on it to tighten it, to clamp it onto the stem, and that yep. gets like tossed.
I've got a few of those.
Yeah, well,
yeah, if you're nice to me, I might send you one. So
the truth is, I don't use the cone nozzle that much. Yeah, there's your flat little. Yeah, that's a lovely. Those are great.
Yeah, this is the Romani one I'm holding up, folks.
Well, and but that and the,
it doesn't fit. It's the same size as the gray thing. So what I need is a coupler without being able to remove my gray thing to hold this on, that I can then use the clamp on it and keep it on my dealie. But I bought this.
Well, you know what I would do?
What?
I would take that. Oh, you don't have it. The gray thing you can't. Yeah, I bet you like Ace Hardware could come up with a piece of PCP that would reduce that.
Oh, what a good idea. Yeah, no, I need it bigger. I need a cuff because it's the same size as the gray thing. But I could get a cuff made out of plastic hosing. Boy, brainstorming right here on the Groom Pod. You guys, this is how my brain works. So do you have one of these water peelers?
Yeah, I like those. Those are okay. Good. I have one of those that I use on the little lobby dryer, and I use it directly into the hose of my canine too. They're a good option, but I don't think that they peel the water anymore. I mean, here's the thing. They're not quite as good as the cone nozzle for peeling the water off, but they don't have as much noise factor, you know, so it's a trade-off. You lose a little bit of pressure, but you gain, it's more comfortable for the dogs.
I think I'd be willing to do that, and I guess I'm going to go to Ace Hardware and see if I can't find something that's going to make this work.
You know, they like to problem solve for you there.
It's true. We also have a local kind of hardware store where the people who work in there are 8,000 years old. And it's like a collection of artifacts all piled on shelves where there's one of everything and it's been there for 50 years. But if you come in and you go, "Do you have one of these?" The guy will go, "Just a minute," and he'll disappear for about 5 minutes into the back and he'll come up with the exact part you need and fix it on for you. I love those guys.
Oh.
So let's talk about the actual drying part. So when you start to HV high velocity dry a dog, I always start, and I know you do too, Barbara, by blowing the coat open, getting the majority of the water that's keeping the hair connected to the skin. Blow that stuff off right off the bat, right?
Right. And I usually use, I can't get him on to do it, but I use a towel so that I'm blowing the spray off into a towel instead of onto another part of the dog or the air.
Or in my case, the wall, which is only a few inches away from the table, and then it bounces right back onto the dog. Yep. And I think once you get it, that the hair open, if you will, it's warmer for the dog, because there's nothing worse, in my opinion, than when you go into the, let's say, warehouse store like Costco, and you go into the bathroom and you wash your hands, and they have regulated the water temperature. So your hands go into the water and it's like too hot. And then you go over to those blow dryers and you stick your hands in the blow dryers and it blows cold air on your warm hands. And it's so uncomfortable there for a few minutes. Well, that's what it's like for the dogs when we're blowing air, even if it's warmed up air. When we're blowing air on wet skin, it's definitely cold on those little dogs, especially the little white ones. So if you open that coat up, it's a little more comfortable for the dog overall. And I think using a water peeler and having it be a little less noisy, I think that's a great option for the smaller dogs as well. I think I'm going to really get on that. So do you start in one spot and then after you've got the coat open, do you then start at one spot and work your way out?
Yes, I do, but I can't get my employee of the moment to do that. You know, I try to be systematic because I'm more conscious of moving water around on the dog. That's why I use a towel while I'm drying, and I start from the top and the back and work my way down and back.
And so you let gravity help you.
Yeah, I let gravity help me. And have you ever used a towel table cover?
Yeah, I have. Actually, every dog that I dry stands on a dry moisture magnet towel, so that whatever's dripping off their feet is soaking into the towel. Whatever I'm blowing down is hitting my table divider and dropping onto that towel, and then thusly not ending up in the air in my closed trailer.
Yeah, good idea. I've had two different table covers that have elastic around them, and you put them on the bottom of the table, and unfortunately, the elastic will eventually loosen up and it's worthless, but that's helpful to keep toweling under the dog.
Yeah, I found that to be just so valuable for me in the trailer. I also, when I'm using just the cuff, just the gray part of the canine tube, the little focuser, what are we going to call that? The connector joint?
The stem,
thank you. When I'm using the stem, I go right up against the skin. This is another Romani technique that she used to teach in her seminar. Right up against the skin and make small circles, because then you're chasing the water away from the area that's already dry. And then you work your way out into bigger and bigger area, not going out into the wet dog and then back into the dry area and then out into the wet dog and back into the dry area, because that is counterproductive. That's bringing water back into the area you've already dried. So sometimes I'll even put the towel over the dry dog so that the water doesn't blow back into that dried area. So it's really important to be thoughtful and systematic about the way you're drying. I wiggle my wand at the beginning. But when I'm getting down to the serious finished drying, I don't move that wand around. I don't move the hose around very much at all. I kind of hold it fairly steady and just gently move one direction or the other, making sure that it's not getting too hot on the dog's body. What do you think of that technique?
I've taught that technique, but I notice that when I'm drying, so when I'm first chasing the water off, I'm doing like 6-inch waving of my, you know, pretty vigorous waving of my wand to blast off the rough stuff, right? And then, but I find that I get the best straightening value if I'm working close to the skin with a little bit of movement. So I'm moving maybe an inch.
Just back and forth an inch?
Back and forth, yeah. And sometimes I'll kind of go around, because what I'm doing is I'm watching the hair at the root straighten out from the skin out.
I find that's very gratifying.
I know. It's very much a meditation for me. And so I look at the wet hair and it's kind of wormy things. And then I want all of those hairs to be straight. And I just keep at that same area until the wormy things straighten out and I have totally straight hair. And if I have an seriously curly coat, I'll do some brush strokes on the coat area and then go back and finish it up.
Oh, so you stop drying, do some brushing, and then go back in?
Yeah, especially when I get to about 85% dry on like my legs, because it's hardest to straighten leg hair. And so I'll get 85% dry and then I'll do some brushing and then go back and redry on that area. And of course, in my shop, I still work with a stand dryer, because stretch drying, where you're actually got the warm air blowing on your head and you're working with your brush and you're stretching the hair that last little bit of the way, makes for such a beautiful result.
It sure does.
And I learned to groom totally stretch drying with an arm dryer, because I learned to groom in the prehistoric days, days.
Well, I have to make a makeshift stand dryer by taking the stem of the dryer and attaching it into the dryer nozzle handle arm holder clamp thing that's on my table. And then my Chris Christensen dryer
dryer.
Yes. The third arm dryer clamp dealy bobber thingy majiggy. That thing. When I put the dryer in there, then I can aim it at the dog and I can kind of position the dog, because I can't really move my table around. It's stuck to the floor and the wall. I position the dog around so that he stays in the stream as best I can. And then I have two hands to work with. So I can fake a stand dryer. And I do fake a stand dryer.
Well, yeah, but that's still, you're still stretch drying. You know, in any of those three ways, you're stretch drying if you stop at 85% and brush and then go back to drying. That stretch dries. To a certain extent, you're stretch drying more if you're using a stand dryer over your shoulder, and you're stretch drying pretty much the same if you're using a third arm and you're blowing on the area of the hair that you want to dry while you're brushing that area.
Before I start drying the dog, I generally spray down with some silicone spray, but there's also products directly made to help you speed the drying along, like Quick Dry by Davis. Do you use any of those types of products?
I wasn't too impressed with this Quick Dry by Davis. I thought that it coated the hair, and I didn't really like the feeling of the coat after I used that product. Show Season has a speed dry shampoo and a spray, and it's just a slightly speeded, you know. And if you use a conditioner, you're undoing the effect, I think, of the speed dry shampoo. Although it's certainly worth trying and using. And probably if I had more of the big hairies that I no longer do, I would be using more of that product.
What about my spray and the silicone on? Is that okay?
I think that's good. See, what we usually do is we add a shot of silicone product to the conditioning rinse. And sometimes it's like the results rinse. Yesterday, I have a Shih Tzu Maltese mix that I groom. He's the son of a Maltese. Son of a Maltese.
Sounds like a bad word.
And he's He's bigger than his dad, and he has a thicker coat than his Maltese dad. And it's hard. And yesterday, that coat scissored so well. God, it was beautiful. And it was the best ever. And I thought, this is a coat that you would want to have in a drop-coated grooming competition. This is the kind of coat that comes out looking like Olga did it.
Yeah.
Look at this. And you know, it wasn't that I was fantastical scissoring. I used a snap-on comb, and then I just lightly scissored over it. It was like perfect. I said, Yvonne, what did you use on this dog? Well, what she had done, Susie, she had added Results Rinse to the conditioner.
Ooh, that's interesting. I've never tried that.
She had added a shot of Results Rinse to the conditioner. And you know, that acidifying effect of closing the hair cuticle. And we still had plenty of conditioner to detangle and fluff up that coat. But that a little bit of acidifier really made the difference in that particular coat. It was the straightest we've ever gotten that dog, and I loved finishing him yesterday. There's a tip for you. And you know, Results Rinse is in itself kind of a quick dry option.
I do use that regularly.
It's a finishing rinse that adds a little bit of silicone and not a waxy conditioner, like no acetyl alcohol and that kind of stuff, that actually takes more time to dry.
Yeah, it works great. I absolutely love it for mobile. It's just, indispensable. Thank you for inventing that. And thank you, Sandy, for putting it out there. Two things are difficult for me. It's difficult for me to be patient enough to finish the complete drying job. I think that's where I get impatient and try to rush it along, and I don't quite finish the inside of the last leg. It's always the same damn spot that I leave every time. And I always have to think to myself, be patient, make sure you look there. Cause I swear probably a third of the time I get to that back corner and I have to stop what I'm doing and finish drawing that damn last leg. So that's a tip right there. Don't rush yourself. Be patient. But the other thing that I find extremely difficult is drying dog heads. The heads, it's hard to dry heads. And I know they hate the noise. And in the wintertime in a grooming trailer, it's cold and they don't like that. Thank goodness for Happy Hoodies, which I might add that you can get in Barbara's shopping cart at shop.bieber.biz. Happy Hoodies are the best. But even after the Happy Hoodie, then I've got to somehow with my not a stand dryer, get those doggy heads dry so that they finish looks nice. Any tips for me there?
Here is where you want the variable speed dryer, because you both remove the nozzles and reduce the pressure, and the dog will tolerate the blow dryer a little bit better.
All I can do is make distance, my friend. Yeah. I can back off, but that's all I can do.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you don't get as good a straightening effect when you back off.
Especially right in here, right in this area, right here, up in the muzzle area.
It's so puzzling, because that same dog that won't let you blow dry its face will stick its head out the window of the car.
Yeah, it makes no sense at all.
And so I hear Yvonne say, pretend you're in the car. Pretend you're in the car. Come on, buddy, pretend you're in the car.
Oh, that's so funny. She's so cute. And I use Happy Hoodies, and sometimes I even put earplugs in the smaller dogs just to make it a little better. But, you know, I find myself having a tug of war trying to hold the dog's head in a spot where I can hit it with the dryer. And boy, does that kill my hand.
I know it does kill your hands. You know, my hands with my trigger thumb going on, I can't hold the ears with my palm and my thumb and dry them. My thumb will have a seizure. But Diana, the physical therapist, is suggesting there that I wear a thumb brace on my left hand. And yesterday I wore one. She brought one for me to try out. And I wore it, and I was able to dry Maltese ears without having a hand problem. it just stabilized my thumb enough. I mean, I still was able to hold the ear firmly enough anyway, but it kept it from doing whatever its little thing is where it locks up.
I was reading a little bit about that. It's an inflamed tendon. It's an inflamed tendon that gets kind of hung up in there, and then it does its thing. Yeah, it seizes up.
So the thumb brace, you might want to try that.
Yeah, no, taping does the same thing. The way I wrap my hands is basically thumb braces on both hands, and it's fabulous, and I can get it wet. I'm allergic to neoprene, and so much of the hand braces, anything that's made commercially is made with neoprene in it, and I break out in hives really badly. I can wear a wetsuit for about an hour. Maybe an hour and a half, but if I go too long, I'm just one gigantic hive. It's not pretty. And it takes a really long time to go away. I mean, a really long time to go away.
Yeah.
So I'm just best off staying away from that.
Here's true confession. Do you ever send a dog home with a damp face? A dog that hates the head drying so bad?
Yeah, I've got a really difficult dog where I do the whole head before the bath. And then once the dog hits the water, then I can't touch the dog's head again very easily. So I don't ever dry it. It's always a little bit damp. I mean, I do the best I can, but he hates it and freaks out. So
well, I've come to compromise. You know,
yes.
I've started figuring if dogs are fighting like hell over something, it's because they really don't like it.
And yeah.
Because it's really stressful for them.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter if it's silly or not.
To them, it's not.
To them, it's not. If they fight you tooth and nail over toenails, over head drying, it's because it's serious shit for them. And yeah. I have come to compromise, and I just tell them, I just tell the owner, we're our face is well combed out, but it's a little damp because I backed off the drying when he got really upset about it.
And compromise is the key there, and figuring out triggers. Grooming is a battle to some dogs. I mean, it's a full-on assault, every bit of it, and it's our job to make that the easiest and less stressful environment we possibly can, if that's your area. I mean, that's my area. My focus isn't to make the haircut perfect. My focus is to make the experience perfect. The haircut is incidental. I mean, it's the end result. It's what the dog is there for, and it's got to happen. But I really want to take into consideration what the dog's feelings are about whatever's going on.
We need to wrap up this segment because we're just like waxing on and on here. And so it was the X-Power B20 7 dryer that I bought this week that I'm really impressed with. It's got tons of power. Right now it has more power than my K9 2, but my K9 2 is compromised.
Well, I'm excited to continue to hear about your experiences with the new dryer. Meanwhile, we'll take a break, hear from South Bark Professional Pet Products, and then we'll hit the definition du jour.
Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
If you're enjoying the Groom Pod and all the good things that happen here, and you want to help us continue to grow, consider doing your shopping at Amazon through our Amazon banner on the website. It won't cost you anything more, and the Groom Pod will get a percentage of your sale. This is by far the best way to help us pay for the show. Just go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, scroll to the bottom, and click on the Amazon ad. Then do your shopping as usual. We really appreciate each and every one of you guys who's been shopping at the Groom Pod's website. Thank you very much. The definition du jour. Barbara, I'm passing it to you.
All right, Susie. So I started out this morning thinking that I would whip up something quickly on the matter of what makes for a harsh surfactant, or what do we identify as a harsh surfactant. And wouldn't you know, girlfriend, I went down the rabbit hole.
Surprise, surprise.
So this is what's going on. For over 10 years, I have been trying to arrive at some list of common shampoo surfactants in order of their harshness.
It'd be a great tool for us to have.
I know, but you know what? It ain't there. It's not happening. I've chased this for, I swear, 12 years. And the reason that it's not happening is that there's so many other factors. And the truth is, the harshness of the product is not just the harshness of the primary surfactant.
The whole is greater than the parts.
That's right. The whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And that the parts, the other items in the formula, affect the harshness of the overall thing. But let me read a little bit. So this is going to be an ongoing conversation. We're not going to end it today.
Okay.
Because I did find last week when I was looking at amphoteric surfactants, I did find a chart on a chemical supplier named Stepan, who's one of the biggest chemical suppliers in the United States. They have a chart of their common surfactants, and they did what's called a Zine test. So the Zine test is, Zine is a protein from corn. And the Zine test measures how much of the protein is dissolved by the given surfactant.
It's like a measurement?
So it's a measurement. Okay, so now today I found out that the Zine test, not everybody agrees that the Zine test is the most accurate measure of irritancy.
So that figures.
but anyway, I found it. But I'm going to read a little bit of history, okay?
Okay.
This is not my own words, okay?
Hit me.
Okay, so humans have been cleansing their skin with surfactants for millennia. Soap was discovered multiple times throughout human history. Generally, the progress in cleansing technology has been marked by the creation of cleansing systems that better respect the skin barrier. While the Industrial Revolution brought purer soap, The high pH and aggressiveness that came with this new product motivated the development of new, gentler technologies. The addition of glycerin to cleansers to make for milder cleansing systems marked the first significant advance in skin cleansing. So soaps that contain the glycerin, which is a byproduct of soap chemistry, are more mild than soaps without the glycerin, right?
Okay.
After the world wars, the development of new synthetic chemistries, that would be our synthetic detergents, enabled many advances in milder cleansing. Developed in the 1950s, the lower pH Sindet bar, which is synthetic detergents in a bar.
Okay, solid.
Was introduced as an alternative cleanser to soap. The Sindet bar has been shown to better respect the skin barrier than soap bars.
Less harsh.
In the 1960s, polymers were added to cleansers for the first time for multiple benefits. And more recently, the introduction of hydrophobically modified polymers into surfactant systems allows for a new approach to creating cleansers with reduced impact to the skin barrier. That kind of gives it all a perspective. And what's most important to know there is that when we're talking about harshness of a surfactant, we're talking about the extent to which it interferes with the stratum corneum, how much it penetrates the stratum corneum, and actually some monomers or single little molecules, not in a cluster, will stay in the skin and provide some irritation. Also, I want to be real clear that there are two ways in which a surfactant or a surfactant system can cause skin problems. One is harshness or irritancy of the surfactant or surfactant system itself, and the other is causing an allergic reaction. Those are two similar but very different ways that shampoos or soaps.
Right. One is inherent in the product or the surfactant. The other is inherent in the pet or person.
Yeah. But the surfactant or system that causes an allergic reaction, if it's like causes a lot of them, then it is inherent.
Oh, yes, yes. You
know, right? Right?
Right, right.
It's an allergen and the dog is allergic.
Right.
Or person is allergic. We need to be clear that there are two very distinct different processes that can cause a skin problem post-grooming, right?
Okay. Yep.
We're just talking today about the harshness of the surfactant or surfactant system itself. And here's just some figures of this Zion score off of this chart from Stepan. You know what I do, Susie, I go into these chemical suppliers and I pretend that I'm a scientist working for a company.
I don't think that's such a stretch. You're a scientist.
And show season allows me to use their name.
Cool.
Yeah. Sandy Cool. She lets me, you know, pretend to be R&D research and development person with show season animal products.
Excellent.
And that way I get in a little deeper into some of these chemical companies.
Cool.
So,
benefits,
right. So sodium lauryl sulfate, it's got a Zion score of 100. So oftentimes sodium lauryl sulfate is used as the measure.
But that's one of my favorite cleaners.
Well, you know what? It's an excellent cleaner. And remember what I said, it's not just the character of the primary surfactant that makes for the degree of harshness of a product. It's how it's used.
Okay. It's
the concentration.
The recipe.
It's the concentration and what else is partnered with it that makes for the mildness or harshness of a formulated product. However, just to give you an example of the difference in the harshness of sodium lauryl sulfate and sodium laureth. In this comparison chart, sodium lauryl sulfate is 100, sodium laureth is 63.
Wow, that's extreme.
So that's a big drop. And that's what happens when you ethoxylate sodium lauryl sulfate and create the cousin, which is sodium laureth. You drop the irritancy potential quite a bit.
Yeah, that's substantial.
The Zine score is corn protein being dissolved by the surfactant, but what happens on the skin is that the surfactant attacks the same ionic force that makes the surfactant a Pac-Man for dirt and oil. I use that analogy because we can visualize a little Pac-Man grabbing dirt and oil from the skin and swimming off into the solution, right?
Right. That's a good visual.
Good visual. So that same ionic force that makes for an aggressive Pac-Man also can make for skin irritation. That's oversimplifying, but I'm going to stay with it. Okay.
But it makes sense, but it's easy to understand.
And I thought it was interesting to see this difference in score, which is, you know, like almost 40 points milder.
Yeah, that's quite a bit. It really is quite a bit.
Now, sodium cocoamphoacetate,
yeah,
which we've talked about before, and I've mentioned it as a mild surfactant, it had a Zine score of 7.
Of 7? Ooh.
Yeah, but it might be so mild that it's not as great a cleanser.
That's like a baby shampoo kind of a cleanser.
Disodium cocoamphodiacetate had a Zine score of 13.
Uh-huh.
Here's an, I'll find another one for you. A common baby shampoo surfactant, sodium cocoyl isothionate, 53. So that was kind of in between-ish. Sodium lauryl sulfoacetate, 55. There's a few of them that are in the, kind of in the 50s and 60s, and they're all these kind of baby shampoo, sodium lauryl sarcosinate, 56. But I wanted to use this to make a point to understand the significant difference between SLS and SLES. SLS is a very strong, very effective cleanser. One of the ways they can make a product that's not as irritating is to partner it with some sodium laureth sulfate. So you reduce the concentration of SLS by partnering it with this significantly milder SLES.
Does that so you dilute it down a little bit.
Yeah, you dilute it down because, and what was the other way we learned that we can dilute surfactant? Foaming.
Right, foaming.
By making a foaming face cleaner, you know. So, yeah. And then another way we can make for a milder formulation is by adding a thickener. Some of the thickeners actually reduce the harshness of the surfactants. In my history that I read you, it said polymers were added to cleansers for the first time for multiple benefits, and hydrophobically modified polymers created cleansers with reduced impact to the skin barrier.
So do they attach to the skin barrier and protect it that way?
You know what does it kind of attach to the skin barrier is the glycerin. It kind of changes the aqueous, the water kind of content of the skin to make for less penetration by the surfactant. Then another way that for historically has been used is to create a formula with larger micelles.
Okay, so that they can't penetrate.
Larger micelles can't penetrate the SC, the striatum corneum. And then that's what happens when you add cocamidopropyl betaine.
Yes, we learned that.
Yeah, we learned that. Cocamide MEA or Cocamide DEA also helps to create larger micelles that are then subsequently less likely to irritate and to, you know, because the lipids of the skin, the oils of the natural skin, a strong surfactant can't necessarily distinguish between the lipids in the skin and the lipids or the sebum on the skin.
Right. You
know? So sometimes those aggressive, stronger surfactants, they go too far. They actually get the protein and the lipids of the skin and cause a little bit of irritancy and work their way in between the little cells of the SC. So there's three ways that you can dilute the concentration of the strong surfactant by adding co-surfactants that then require you to use less of that one. You can add something that makes for larger micelles. You can add glycerin or glycerols that affect the water content of the skin and protect it from the skin out. And you could add polymers that have reduced impact to the skin barrier. So that's what I'm going to leave you with today, a little lesson in harshness. It's not as simple as we would like. There's not going to be a ranking list of surfactants. I'm going to continue to look for that.
But we do know which one's at the top.
But we do know that which one's at the top. And now we have a little better in our mind of the significance of the difference between SLS and SLES.
All right. Well, we're going to skip Charlie the Crazy Dog so we bring it in under an hour and 15 minutes. But I'll discuss that. We'll discuss that next time. So how about, though, the answer to our tail wagging trivia question?
Yeah. How many hairs on the back of a cat?
Okay. So the belly is considerably more densely packed than the back of the cat. The belly has 120,000 hairs per square inch.
Son of a gun.
The back has 60,000 hairs per square inch. So the belly is twice as dense in hair, which, you know, makes sense to keep all that warm and protected from the ground. So fascinating, huh?
I wonder what it is for dogs. No, you know, it's hard because there's so many types of dog hair. Canine hair is fascinating. There's more types of canine hair than there are of human hair.
It's crazy.
There's more variation.
I like to call it job insurance. All right. Well, thanks for being here with us this week on the Groom Pod. And we will be back next week like we always are. So happy grooming, everybody. Thanks for being here. See you next time. Bye-bye now.
Bye, groomers. Bye, Susie. Love you.
You too.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of The Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.